This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
You have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Good vibes and variety. Trevor Noah and George Lopez. We've got tickets for both of those shows for the funniest texter today. And we're doing this all week. It's very exciting. You just be funny like you already were going to be. You're always texting us funny stuff. Keep it up.
You're the best.
You are the best. Thank you. Our text number, in case you don't know it, and you're like, oh, I'd like to try to get those tickets, it's 800-400-3697. So throughout the morning show, we'll be keeping an eye, keeping track of the best, the funniest. And if your text is selected, you'll win a pair of tickets for Trevor Noah, May 24th, and George Lopez on May 31st at the Mountain Winery Concert Series, courtesy of Golden Voice.
Real quick, 415, speaking of the text, texted in. To be fair, I saw someone pooping on a corner in the Tenderloin last week. Yeah, there's no question that problem exists elsewhere in the world.
But no one came out to sweep it down into the Ganges. So there's, it's.
I don't know about that.
People just let it die into the sidewalk.
Know what happens?
I don't either. I don't know why I said anything. So I'm going to start with just to catch up on yesterday's story about Kim Delaney. Kim Delaney, for a long time, was a star on NYPD Blue, which was a TV show, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Groundbreaking TV show, actually. Yeah. It was like 95 to maybe 2002, 2003, something like that. So it was a while ago.
Yeah.
But she was on that. And we talked about this yesterday. Nowadays, butts get shown on TV all the time. Like, actually, just walking down the street, you see butts.
It's become standard beachwear to have your butt fully exposed.
Your butt's just out, right?
And I
know there's a string in there, so I guess I get that you're not naked, but
I have absolutely, as a young person, seen the occasional one on the beach because I spent most of my summers and all my free time when I could at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally you'd see that, you know, years ago.
Is that now, so? Something really high cut like that.
Yeah, but now it's the norm.
Right. Yeah.
So
there's a couple different varieties of it. There's one that I feel like is, it's sort of somewhere between the ones that look like granny panties and cover the whole bottom, and but it doesn't just come out the top and like a little whale tail. It's like it kind of goes like halfway up the butt and then triangles
out.
Yeah,
actually, that's more of a whale tail, like the one that's kind of half, like that turn. There's the G-string, which is just the string. Then there's the thong, which is that little V at the top. And then the whale tail is a little lower down the cheeks.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Yeah, I
haven't
really know
sold
all the terms
swimsuits in a long time. And I'm...
It looks like a half cheek. It's like a... I feel like, okay, at least it looks like you've got pants on.
It's coming for me, though. I mean, I have two daughters and I know for sure.
But your wife would never... Like, I would never do that. I think women of a certain age are just like, no thanks. Although, I'm not going to speak for everybody of a certain age. I've definitely seen people who are always like, good for you. That's great. Good.
Christina is very conservative. But what I would say is, and she's got a killer body and still runs like a maniac, but she's not happy with her body, just like, you know.
Like every woman.
Right. So she wouldn't do it right now because she'd say, I'm not in the kind of shape that I should be in for that. Also, I'm more conservative and wouldn't do it. She could do it, though, and would look great.
There are plenty of people who could, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of people who can't and still do.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, whatever everybody wants. Anyway.
I think it's a good look.
I guess we're talking about this because on that show, the first ever live butt cheeks was shown.
On NYPD Blue.
Yeah. And Dennis Franz. And it was a 10 o'clock show and everyone was like, oh my God. Dennis Franz shows his butt.
The ugly guy showed his ass.
It was really a big deal. I remember. Mm-hmm.
He's not even the handsome guy in the show.
No, like, he's just a dude with a butt. Who even knew he had one of those?
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking. I've been thinking about that poor girl's bad haircut. Whatever will she do? She's not good looking anymore.
What girl's haircut?
That girl.
What?
Emily.
Radikowski. Yeah, that's who that was. Okay.
Throwback.
Yeah. Shocking.
Shocking.
Her haircut was shocking. It's not that shocking. She's still, don't worry. Her hotness continues.
What about all the dong on White Lotus? They showing a lot of dong on White Lotus?
I've seen some dong on there.
I didn't see the new one. I forgot to watch it.
And I'm going to wait too, because we have the one from this past weekend and the one that's going to drop this coming Sunday. And that's the final one. So I want to watch, I want to binge the two of those together. Mm. Have a night. Have a White Lotus night. God, that show, though. It is so well written. That guy, Mike White, the one who was on Survivor years mm-hmm. ago. Like, he is just so, he's so clever. It's okay. Crunchy, too. Okay, so back to Kim Delaney. Shocking. Kim Delaney is saying, we heard yesterday that there was some kind of domestic dispute between her and her husband of a couple years. Both of them were arrested. Apparently, he'd bailed himself out. I don't even think I have words. She can't still be stewing there, but maybe she is. Kim Delaney, her husband is saying, she tried to run over me with the car. They were apparently fighting. This is according to TMZ. They were fighting for 2 days before getting arrested on Saturday. He told the police that she tried to hit him with her car. She called the LA County Sheriff's Department Friday night and made a domestic violence report against her husband, James Morgan. He took off after Friday's alleged domestic disturbance. And then when he returned to their home the following morning, that's when she called the cops again. She didn't want him around. And when the police arrived, James spoke with the cops, showed them video appearing to show Kim trying to hit him with her car. I guess he got some kind of video from their apartment or their
house. Based on just the story you're telling me, that is crazy.
Yes.
That
may be why she's not out of jail.
You're completely undone if you're trying to run.
Right. So, like, you don't just bump someone with your car. You're trying to kill them.
Yeah, I get someone can get mad. And I do realize that if someone were threatening my family, I might run them down with a car. But
yes.
There's in no way, shape, or form would I be able to pursue someone in a car hoping to get them. Unless it was a scenario where I'm saving my daughters.
Or you're completely out of your mind, Kanye.
Well, I couldn't. I've never been there.
Right.
I've never been there.
Yes. Sometimes, though, you watch a horror movie and there'll be like, you know, scary people from the woods that come out and they stand in the road and the people are just driving and they're like, oh no, what's going on? I'm like, you needed to run those people over. None of this would have happened if you just hit those people and kept going.
That what?
You heard me.
It's very specific.
You're very, very scenario. Out of control today.
What?
You know, like in every horror movie.
You know, in horror movies, that is a thing that happens.
The people that come out of the woods.
Yes,
that
and
stand
they block
there,
the people who block the road.
And you
happens.
Should have run them down.
I get that people don't have that kind of like, you can't be prescient and be like, oh, these people clearly don't.
Right.
Have
I mean,
best.
What if they're
they
about
do
to
a pitchfork
say,
and a log fire?
Or a puppy.
Then you should really hit them. They're trying to tempt you with a puppy. Come on. It's the middle of the night. What are they doing out in the middle of the road trying to show you a puppy for?
I found this puppy. Help me save it.
I'm just going to kill you all. Goodbye. And I don't even feel bad about it because I know you definitely had a place to with duct tape and chains.
There I was.
I'll take the bear.
Just sitting there and I heard this. And I went, you guys hear that? I think a puppy's hurt. I must rescue it.
And then the next thing you knew, you spent the next 3 years
ran me over
in a log
in
cabin.
In the street. Me and the puppy.
Oh.
Look, I'll try to avoid you. But if there's a line of you and your creepy friends with your pitchforks and your torches in the middle of the street with like six teeth between you, I'm going to send Red Rover right over. Anyway, Kim Delaney, and I'm not condoning what she did here. They were married, and he's showing video where she's trying to run him down. So the cops talk to both of them and arrest them both. This is on this past Saturday morning. They talk after talking to them, they're like, both of you need to come through. She was charged. This is Kim Delaney of 90210 of NYPD Blue fame. She was charged with felony assault, likely to cause great bodily injury. That's, you know, trying to hit someone with a car.
Sheesh.
And Morgan, the husband, James Morgan, was charged with misdemeanor domestic violence, which compared to felony assault likely to cause great bodily injury, it just sounds like less. Wrong, though, still. See, I know right from wrong.
Have they mentioned anything about drugs or alcohol?
No, not interesting. Not in any of these stories. However, we do know from yesterday's stories that she has had those struggles in, you know, 20 plus years ago. I want to say in 2022, she got a DUI. 2023, at the end of her run on NYPD Blue, she went into rehab. So there's that. Let's see. Oh, by the way, just a side note, nothing to do with this case, but in January of 2024, so a little over a year ago, Kim Delaney was sued by a motorcyclist who claimed she rammed her car into him at a red light and then tried to flee the scene. That the end of that, I don't know, have any more information about it, but Timza put it into the story.
That's her thing then, running people down.
I don't know.
So you think she'd learn. Push people off a cliff on a hike? Yep. She's a, I just run you over.
Well, I don't do that though. I don't even try to. She's clearly moved to the next step. You know me very well. Gene Hackman's mother-in-law. Gene Hackman has a mother-in-law, which is...
Well, sure.
Yeah. His wife is significantly... Yeah. His wife was. But she's in her 90s, so they're very much contemporaries.
Yes.
So Gene Hackman's mother-in-law is... And I feel like this seems reasonable. You tell me. Body cam footage exists of police finding the bodies of Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy. This was back in February. Pictures were taken. Body cam video was taken. And there are people who are like, release it. And it's TMZ. Of course it is, right? It's or of people of that ilk. Because they know there's sickos out there who want to see these gross pictures. I mean, I have heard a lot of stuff about mummification and stuff.
It's all about the clicks.
It is. So they want all this stuff. And apparently, maybe it just like enters public domain. Like, they, you know, they took it. It's part of this case. The people should have the access. Yoshi Feaster is not one of the people who thinks this stuff should be released. Yoshi Feaster.
Her
last name is Feaster.
I love the whole name.
One who feasts. Yoshi Feaster.
I love that.
Yeah. It's like a band name. Yoshi
Feaster.
That
is a band name or a rock star name.
Yeah. What's your name?
Yoshi Feaster.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Feaster.
I love it.
Mm. Feaster.
Mr. Feaster.
Mr. Feaster. Yoshi Feaster is not one of the people who thinks that the footage should be released because...
Well, I'm with her.
Yeah. She has a legit legal claim. She's Gene's mother-in-law. He's 95. He had a 91-year-old mother-in-law. Betsy was only 65 or 63 or whatever. Yoshi's the mom, Yoshi Feaster. And she says those pictures and videos should be under wraps so I can grieve in peace. In legal documents that she filed to block them, she said that she has a constitutional right to avoid seeing images of my daughter's home, her dead body, her husband's dead body, their dog's corpse. Some New Mexico judge ruled yesterday that photos and video from the scene can be released. But I guess they amended that to say any images of Gene and Betsy can't. They have to be either blurred or edited out. So I don't know where this will end, but she's not wrong. And why should the public get to see that stuff? Just because we have morbid fascination with all things celebrity?
I don't think they should.
I agree.
And I think that, you know, one of the things about our system that's cool, and I'm not a judger. I judge like you do, like everyone else does, that snap judge in your head where you go, what's wrong with me?
I should have said that. That was stupid. What am I doing?
Like, I'm perfect.
There, right.
Look in the mirror, fool.
I got asked. I just made a snap judgment. Didn't mean anything by it. Be a hater.
You made 20 mistakes today, for God's sakes. Where do you get off? Anyway,
oh my God, right.
I do feel like that having a judge in a position, you'd like to believe that they understand why the public might think they need this, but they also understand why there's no possible good comes of releasing these photos. Please bring to me your need and I'll decide if that is a valid point.
Right.
There, I can't imagine what someone would say. Why they need the photo of Hackman.
I need the clicks. I work for TMZ.
And no.
I need to get the scoop.
The answer's no.
Why?
I don't even know where my gavel is. Okay. I have ruled. There is no more talking. But no, you can just smack it. Oh, fudge.
I can see you're feeling pretty judgy. No.
Right.
Yoshi Feaster's going to get her way.
Yoshi.
Feaster is just a fun word. You don't hear it. I've never heard that as a last name.
Oh, that was the dirty kid in my class. Brian Feaster. Mm. He was the kid that didn't smoke.
I thought you were the dirty kid.
Yeah.
No, that was just when I wrestled.
Oh.
But Brian Feaster. Very dirty Feaster. Boy.
And that's because you wouldn't shower with the other boys, right?
Yeah. And we didn't have like a lot of
running water. Right.
And even when we did, not a lot of it. So.
Did your well run dry?
It would run out of water. Yeah. Yeah. I could fill a niche or two in the bathtub and you'd run out of water. We ran out of water all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had a very different upbringing. And yet you would dig a hole and poop in that. Right?
I was cleaner than Brian Feaster.
And much of India. Here's your new Supergirl. Her name is Millie Alcock.
I don't know Millie Alcock.
She's adorable. Here she is. She's studying up. She's going to be the new Supergirl. So I don't know how old she is. She looks, what does she look, 12, 15?
She's real cute.
She's really cute. So she's reading the Supergirl comic book, Woman of Tomorrow. She's a young lady who they have cast. This is James Gunn and Millie Alcock have put this together as a post on Instagram.
Her age for real?
Actually, I don't have her age. So I put it up on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page.
Bob has it.
Bob, how old is she? Bob, you can turn your own mic on.
24.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to say that girl's not 12, Sarah.
She looks like a child to me. How funny.
You're off. Turn yourself on.
She's in the first season of House of the Dragon.
Oh, that's her.
I love that girl.
Me too. Oh, my God. I was Good so job. Bummed when they halfway through they transitioned to another actress.
Yeah, that's her. Good job, Bob.
Yeah, she's not 12.
No.
I got close to that picture and went, that's a grown woman and she's smoking hot.
You know, it's so funny. Even now, as I'm looking at her, she still looks like a 12-year-old to me. That's so funny. I love her in House of the Dragon. It's such a bummer. She was only, what is she on, 6 episodes? And then all of a sudden they changed the entire cast. I'm like, okay. Like, yes, I'll keep watching. It's a Game of Thrones show, but it didn't get good by the end. Anyway, Millie Alcock is your new Supergirl. That's interesting. Good casting. James Gunn says, today we celebrate hashtag Supergirl and all her various incarnations. Can't wait for you to see the latest version portrayed by Millie Alcock, June 2026.
So what was the movie that they just threw away? They made the whole thing. Was it Supergirl?
No, it was...
Batgirl.
No. It was The Coyote versus Acme. You talking about the one they didn't release?
There was a movie made, and it's either Batgirl or Supergirl. They made the whole movie. And then they wrote it off. And then they stopped making it and threw it away.
Do you mean that they finished it and shelved it?
It was the Batgirl movie, and they scrapped nearly a completed movie. Yeah.
Is that one of the tax things? Because that other one,
I think it is on that list, but I don't remember why they got rid of it.
One of those just came back.
So the reason they did it was there was a strategic shift from the project, but there was a tax write-off. Yeah, according to Variety, the studio decided to take a tax write-off for $90 million rather than finish filming and releasing it.
Hold on, I actually have a story about the other one there. Because people were bitching about this. You know what? I'll never find it. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Okay, I found it. Woo! So we're going to get to see that Coyote versus Acme. This is Will Forte, who was bitching about this. He was like, we watched it. It's great. Release it. And they're like, nope. It makes us more. It costs $70 million to make. And they took it as a tax write-off and put it on a shelf. But everybody that was in the movie was like continually whining about it. And so it got bought. And we're going to get to see it. So I think John Cena is also in it. It's a mix of animation and live action. And if you're a Looney Tunes fan, I guess, and I did love The Roadrunner. It looks like they sold it to a company called Ketchup Entertainment. Spelled the way you think, like ketchup.
C-A-T-S-U-P?
No, catch. K-E-T-A-T-C-H. Not catsup. And they're going to put it in theaters. I don't have a word on when. I don't know what they paid for it, but they'd been in negotiations on this for a while, and it just got sold. So, but I don't know anything about them. If that movie wasn't finished, I don't know how they, unless it was like all the principal photography is done, and they need like the Nick Hassans of the world to do their magic on the show. Maybe they can finish it.
I believe it was finished.
Oh,
yeah.
Just another finished one that they shelved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's been some misfires and some real backlash for the mistakes that have been made with some of these characters. I don't know about scrapping a $90 million project or whatever. That seems, but
it does. I know.
That movie was finished, by the way.
Well, say that again.
That movie was finished.
Batgirl.
No. The Acme. The Acme movie.
Oh, yeah. No,
the
that
Batgirl
one was finished.
Was
I'm talking
almost
about...
done. They were done almost all of it. And they
that's what
also
I was saying.
Said, they also
were
said it was
for
so
Nick
bad.
Hassan. Oh.
Yeah, the Batgirl movie was so bad.
That's too bad.
It would have hurt the DC brand.
Yeah, that's what I think it comes down to is they realize we're going to be in more trouble. Like, it's the Snow White thing all over again. We would have been better off not touching it than to be all caught up in this controversy and losing the money they've lost.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, tell me what you think about this one. Kendrick Lamar is making a movie with the South Park guys who have a track record. I love South Park, but that Team America movie is one of the funniest movies of all time. And Book of Mormon, I've seen that twice. It's so good. They're saying, I guess some head of some big studio was saying, it has one of the funniest and most original scripts we've ever read, and it's Kendrick Lamar who is starring in it. And it's like a year out. I guess they were trying to do it a little bit earlier than that, but it's looking like March of 2026. I have to say, I'm interested. I'll see anything that Trey Parker and Matt Stone do. They're saying it's going to... it was supposed to come out on July 4th of this year. That's a little bit dicey, isn't it? July 4th is a big release.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the beginning of the summer blockbuster season. To move it to March is...
Mm-mm.
That sounds bad.
I'm so lonely, so lonely.
Or Kim Jong-il at the time, I guess.
Yeah. Who knows?
Can't keep track of that place.
I sing this song all the time.
I know. Oh, my God. Anyway... I just was like, what? This is the first I'm even hearing about the South Park guys teamed up with Kendrick Lamar for a movie about a year from now. But I got to say, moving from 4th of July to March doesn't seem like an awesome shift.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
There's definitely, if you looked it up right now, there's probably already slated on the calendar blockbusters ready to release on those days.
Right.
The big ones.
Yes.
And they've even pushed, like, there's one...
Maybe they don't want to battle with them.
That's just one of the things. Yeah, it's one of the things where they could look at the calendar and go, we already lost and we haven't even made one pencil mark on a piece of paper.
And I suppose that if you're not battling with all the big summer releases and you come out in March, that maybe that, you know, you get to be the star of that weekend show.
Right.
You get to make a bigger splash. And then maybe they think, because I will say a lot of their stuff becomes sort of culty, cult class, like you watch it over and over. So maybe they're like, we'll be fine. We'll just put it out in March. Who knows? Anyway, I'm personally looking forward to it. All right, Vincenzo, what's coming up?
Got a couple texts real quick. We got a contest going right now. You can win some stuff. Some comedy tickets. 925 says, you know what this show needs?
What?
A second female speaking up into the mic. So refreshing. Loving Bob. Bud and Martinez. Bud, you just calm down.
You're getting attached.
Don't do it.
We're going to put you on probation.
She was very good, though. I applauded her, actually. She was like looking at me all. All right, take it easy, old man. 707 says, it's just
a lot of people look at us that way, man. Just like, I'm totally used. You got to get used to it.
I grew a mustache. I mean, I have no right to fight that one, do I? A limerick for Bob. There once was a woman named Bob who was anything but a snob. She charmed us on air. We were told not to care. The Bay Area's heart she did rob.
Oh, we're putting that in.
Gracie, Napa, Odyssey.
That's pretty good.
You're in the contest, baby.
All right.
Woo!
You're in the running.
Oh, NBC Bay Area's superhero reporter, next!
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up!
Wake up!
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
Boom, bum, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Happy Tuesday. Listen live, win contests, and get our full show podcast. It's all happening at RadioAlice.com.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Outside Lands. Oh. All this week, listen for the code word at 905, 1205, 505, and 605. Text that code word to our contest line, 20357. For your chance to win a pair of 3-day general admission festival passes to Outside Lands, starring Hozier, Gracie Abrams, Doja Cat, and more. This is on August 8th through the 10th at Golden Gate Park, courtesy of Another Planet.
Sweet. Such a good time.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Weather today. We do see some sun breaks in downtown San Francisco, although there's still clouds, and it poured on my drive-in. And I know the South Bay has been getting more rain, like even later in the day, and I think it ends up dry up here. So, but we should be good after today.
Yeah,
the rain moves out and we get a break. I'll take it.
Yes, I would love to have a few days in a row without mud.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, let me please introduce to you superhero reporter Scott Budman from NBC Bay Area. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you.
So great to have Scott.
There we go. Thank God.
Thanks, guys.
I like it. Welcome to the show, Scott. Now, listen.
Thank you, Vin.
More than once in the past couple weeks, we've had some stories come through where I'm like, you know who we need right now is for Scott Budman to fly in.
Hit me up.
So there's been,
I'm local.
Yeah, I know. We got to start doing that. So there have been a few stories. One of them that we discussed at length was 23andMe.
Mm. Yes.
Has filed for bankruptcy. The CEO has stepped down. And now people are worried about their DNA data being sold off. And often, as this happens, as technology comes out, people rush to experience it. I would like to know if I'm really Italian. Oh, no. Look, it's true. I'm really Italian.
Yes.
It turns out my parents, they told me the truth. So, and we don't know where that's going to go from there. We don't know what someone can do with it, what foul play could happen.
Right.
What do you know about the 23andMe? What's worth worrying about? Should we go delete our data? What do you got for us, Scott Budman?
Yeah, this turned out to be a big story, and it was fun. A lot of us, you know, spit in the little vial and found out, hey, we're from here and we're from there, and there were some surprises. The problem with their business model is once we found out we were whatever, right? Russian, Italian, Irish, we don't really need to go back. We're still, years later, the same things and from the same places.
Yes.
So it's, right, it's, think about, since I did this, I probably bought five or six iPhones, but I only needed to spit in the vial once. And so the business model was not all that successful. Mm. And consequently, it was hard for 23andMe to make money. They tried to do deals with pharmaceutical companies. Hey, we've got DNA data. It's anonymized, but we can say, look at all these people that are either susceptible to this disease or from these places and their family members and, you know, whatever. It just didn't work out, even though the CEO, Ann Wojcicki, is a Silicon Valley star, very well respected. It just didn't work out. They didn't make enough money. They kind of flew too close to the sun. They went public. Maybe that wasn't a great idea. They had a valuation of $6 billion at one point because, Vinny, you're right, people get excited about the new technology. But now that $6 billion is down to something like $15 million. It is just, they lost almost everything. They declared bankruptcy, and that's where the concern comes in about data. 23andMe was very clear. We don't sell your data. We anonymize it. But what happens to a bankrupt company? Someone might come in and buy it, an outside, you know, company, individual. Yeah. And we don't really know what they're going to do with the data. And so that's why it's concerning. And this is some pretty private stuff. Not only do they likely have maybe your credit card information when you paid for the DNA test, they might have some address information, but now they also have this intimate DNA that talks about, you know, perhaps what disease you're susceptible for, just personal stuff that can be traced to your family. And so hence the way to delete it. And there is a way, it's easy. I did it myself some time ago. I also pinned how to do it to my Twitter site. So it's about three or four steps, very easy to do. But I would recommend it only because, as great as it is to know where you're from and confirm that your parents told the truth or find siblings or whatever you do on 23andMe, now it's a little sketchy because we don't know where this stuff goes from here.
You know, not that 23andMe needs to defend them, and I could even be wrong, but I thought when they first started talking about 23andMe, it was going to be more about them being able to find out what possibility, what diseases you're susceptible to, what, and this would be part of a greater medical health experience that could save your life with early detection. Mm. But I don't, I guess that just never materialized, or was that, is that all in my head?
It's not. The initial plan was to do a lot when it came to healthcare, as well as tell you where you're from. And some of that worked out. Some of it was actually deemed illegal. They couldn't do it because of various laws. But also, it was driving doctors crazy. Doctors would say that people were coming in and saying, hey, you got to test me for this. You got to test me for that. And the doctor would say, but you don't have that. You're a healthy, you know, individual. Oh, yes, but people from this region of wherever, you know. And so it actually ended up kind of jacking up the medical costs. And doctors were being told, hey, says I should test for this. And so you had this sort of back and forth battle between some cool technology and a doctor that could literally look at you and say, no, 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 you're healthy. And so there were all these tensions for a while. They couldn't do any healthcare stuff. Then they got permission to do a little bit, but it was just never enough to really establish an identity as we're the healthcare company that's going to, you know, save you by telling you what you might be susceptible for years in advance.
I hope for that at some point, but it does seem like they had a lofty goal and fell just way far short of it. So
I wonder about, like, sort of the legal aspects of finding out that someone you're not related to, or that someone that you are related to is the murderer everyone's been looking for. Like, didn't DNA evidence that they were able to figure out where a person was from based on, like, their sibling having gotten this test or been able to track down, because they had the perpetrator's DNA, it just didn't know who he was. And then they'd find close relatives.
Right. I mean, DNA evidence probably got famous during the O.J. Simpson trial. And from then, it was something that was used a lot at crime scenes. And, you know, there were some famous cases recently where I think it was Ancestry.com helped out, you know, find a murderer. And that's sort of, you know, where this is going now. It's very prevalent in legal cases. But because you can trace all these things in legal cases, and that's great if you need to find a murderer, you know, you can imagine that maybe someone might be able to find you or a family member if they have access to your DNA that you don't want to find you. And so it's a privacy concern, even though it is helpful in crimes.
Right.
We're talking to Scott Budman from NBC Bay Area. He's our tech guy and more. I saw this quote the other day, and I just was like, oh, where is this headed? So Bill Gates was once the richest man on the planet. He's now, I don't know, in the top 20 or maybe whatever, but clearly he's smart enough to make billions and Microsoft continues without him. But his most recent quote was something along the lines of, and I've got it right here, but he's saying basically get ready for a 2 or 3 day work week because AI is going to do almost everything for us in 10 years time. Now, I don't know if you saw this quote or if you hear people buzzing about AI taking over every possible thing, but how do we keep a society running on a 2 day work week? What do you know about this guy and his 2 day work week prediction?
I mean, Bill Gates is Bill Gates. He's right. Been famously right on a lot of technology things. That said, I saw the interview and the 2 to 3 day work week. I mean, you know, people have been wanting that for a long time.
Well,
what struck me is Gates out there saying,
good.
Hey, yeah, he says we won't need things like teachers and doctors in a short period of time because AI will take over. And, you know, the promise slash concern about AI is machines get good or at least good enough to where we put human things into their hands. And I don't know if we think society is going to be ready to turn teaching and the medical profession over to AI, which we know all the time, every day is also wrong as well as right. Yeah. I think he's way, way ahead of himself. Now, I'm not going to go on record as saying, you know, Bill Gates and I disagree, but one thing about Microsoft and the reason he is so rich, you know, Microsoft had a famous run in the 90s with the software that it makes. It's now having an even better run because it's deeply into AI. And so when AI does well, Microsoft stock goes up, Bill Gates gets money. You know, I'm really impressed that he gives a lot of it to healthcare things and all that stuff. But this is an AI guy saying that AI is going to do well. So we just have to be a little bit skeptical,
but I think
the promise of AI is right. It's going to take over. Isn't that the big worry?
It is a worry. Like I'm, you know, yes. Wouldn't it be great to be able to support yourself only working 2 days a week? But most people can't do that. Like this doesn't mean more money for the average person. This isn't like, you know, now we're suddenly like, no one has to pay anybody for full-time
work. Save money
work.
For half the work. Okay. But I don't see it.
Right. It's that because it's not going to happen.
Also, you know, Bill Gates says here, the purpose of life is to not just do jobs. Understood, Bill. But
yes, give us each $1 billion.
My bills. What will, so is the prediction that our society becomes better off with people staying home? We'll pay you to stay home. Don't leave the house because we're getting everything done without you.
Well, okay, but here's the problem with that theory is that right now we know that AI is doing the job of some humans, largely back-end things, coding, all that stuff. So those people don't have jobs, and by the way, they're not getting paid. So we know if a robot takes your job, at least in the present time, you don't stay at home and get paid. You have to go find another job.
Mm-hmm.
So
and you're trained to do that thing
whole
that the AI is right. Now doing. You're like, okay. You know, so many sci-fi books end up with everybody on basic. It's like the only certain people ever get to have a job and everyone else is like, nah, you're not qualified for it. Here's your however much a week. Enjoy your life.
Right. And so far it hasn't been, you know, the disaster that we thought for jobs and for people. In fact, because of startups and growth, I mean, Microsoft's done a lot of hiring. We've seen AI even create jobs. But the companies will literally do these things where we say, okay, we're laying off this many people because they're not in AI. Meanwhile, we're hiring people to program and sell all the AI stuff that we're making. So it's clear this is a hot technology. This is a hot spot for jobs right now. One of the things that's encouraging is that we're seeing colleges and universities come up with AI classes and even majors. So it is something that can get you a better job and a higher salary if you know how to deal with it. But yeah, if you have certain skills that the robots are doing really well, that's where we see the job losses. And again, those people are not told, hey, just go home and we'll keep paying you. they're told, go get some new skills and get a new job because
we got that covered.
The bots have taken over. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a computer science major and I can program anything. Yeah, but can you run this cash register?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Actually, right. We don't need you for that either because people
are checking themselves out. Exactly.
Scott Budman from NBC Bay Area, man, we really appreciate you checking in. I got one more question for you before you head off into your work day. People can find you on the TV today, yeah? Somewhere around? Oh, NBC Bay Area.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Tariffs. Our current president is big on them, and they're about to kick in. What's going to cost us more? What do you know?
So tariffs are likely to kick in. This has been a back and forth thing, but President Trump seems very determined to put these things on. It's likely that they will hit automobiles pretty hard because we have not only tariffs on cars made out of the country, but also car parts made out of the country that even American car makers use. So just about every car is likely to cost more within a week or two once these things really kick in. Also, you know, clothing, we import a lot of that. We import steel and wood and things like that, aluminum that we use to build houses. So the cost of that could go up at some point. And food, we import a lot of our food from places like Mexico and Canada, heating oil if you live on the East Coast. So all these things that are part of our day-to-day lives are likely to go up, at least in the short term. Tariffs historically have not been all that great for our economy. They're inflationary because they make things cost more. The idea that people will, instead of using the foreign company's goods, use American goods is a great idea. That could help American companies, but it takes time because we as consumers tend to buy what we always buy. And so the question is, are we just going to pay more for these goods and sort of suck it up? Or are we really going to take the time to look around and see an alternative, maybe an American alternative? Hey, that would be great. But in the short term, it looks like things are going to cost more. And we just don't know if the president is even going to keep these around. He's talking about tariffs with China that he could pull if we get a deal to buy TikTok. So there's even social media involved in this. So a lot of question marks, but it looks like within the next couple of days, these tariffs are going to be in place. And yes, at least in the short term, things are likely to cost more. The interesting thing, on a car lot, you might have the cars that have been on the lot for a while. And right next to it will be the exact same car that was just imported for anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 more. So as shoppers, we should look a little more closely at price tags as this thing gets going. Because yeah, tariffs do make things cost more. Mm-hmm.
Scott Budman from NBC Bay Area. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, anytime.
Awesome job.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Where's all the clapping?
Oh, sorry, let me. There we go. There you go, Scott. The whole place is standing up for you.
Oh, Scott.
How do you
Budman,
do it
everyone.
Every time? Bring in the thunder.
You guys, thanks. Goodness.
Great to talk to you.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. Here's a few of the things that you people had to say. 408 says, doctor here.
Oh.
This AI crap is not good news. We are already constantly fighting against WebMD and Google searches. Mm. What's it going to be like now? Jeez. Yeah, I mean, I remember 23andMe, their big thing actually initially was supposed to be not to tell me I'm Italian. Oh, that's why I like pasta.
Right. It was like gene markers.
It was that stuff. It was, it'll tell you,
you might
be someone who should get checked for cancer, colon or otherwise, because... So I thought that's where we were headed, and it turns out, I guess, that they just couldn't make that happen.
It's interesting. I never thought about what he said, though. There was probably an initial rush for everyone to spit in the tube, and lots of us did it. And then once everyone's done that, there's no more customers. So unless you can find something to do with that data.
I mean, I went and did that like a big dummy real quick, and then I found out I was 69% Italian from Sicily and 23% Irish, and then some other stuff. It's neat at first, but then in the end I went, I already knew I was Italian-Irish. Now what?
Mm.
Well, nothing except that if this company gets bought or sold, maybe
my
DNA, that's
right.
Not good. I don't like it.
I never heard the word anonymizing before.
That was nice.
That was a good word.
Well done, Scott Budman. Always love appearances from Bay Area's hot dad, Scott Budman.
Oh.
What?
Hot dad? How come he has to be a hot dad? He can't just be hot.
Hot dad Scott Budman. All right.
Well, write that down for next time.
23andMe outed my 70-year-old mom from the closet for having a baby as a teenager and giving her up for adoption.
Oh.
All happened against her will. Oh. The info went out to her siblings, children, nephews, nieces. That's been, I mean, we hear those stories all the time.
Right, finding out your dad's not your dad kind of stuff. Finding out about all your half-siblings that your dad was busy getting.
Yep. 408 says, Vinny, we don't have to stay home. We'll be out in the world enjoying it. Because we'll get paid for what?
Yeah. That's the thing. Is if, you know, no one's going to continue to pay you at your current... It's like, yes, wouldn't it be great if you could make a living working 2 days a week? No one can do that.
I mean, I actually, in my own little bubble,
yes,
I could say to myself, well, I get off going surfing.
Yep.
And in general, as long as I've got a board and a suit, I could do that every day until I die.
So happy. Right. Right.
And then if I could just get some food in me, I might be able to eke out some kind of cool existence. Yeah. But with no money coming in, eventually I can't even drive to the surf spot I want to go. Like,
yep. Maybe you get a fishing pole.
It's just.
And you just live down by the water, Vin. Make a sand cave for yourself. And where will your children live? In beside you, make them a little sand castle to live in.
Well, and that's honestly, I actually did think about my kids.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
I know.
What's the prospects for our kids?
They say it's a really tough, like if you're 40 years old right now and you lose your job, it's like the hardest job market.
The position to be.
It is a terrible position to be in because you're sort of established with whatever you've been doing. And if that goes away... I don't know. It's just some article I read.
Anyway, our text number is 800-400-3697. We got a little contest going right now. What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
Who is fantasizing about Mr. Clean, plus vegans and carnivores?
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice at 97.3.